Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to the Moment of Deliverance. Glory to God. This is your host and founder, Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson, coming to you by way of podcast. Glory to God. Thank you for joining in on this evening. Whether you're at home with your feet propped up, whether you're driving down the road in your vehicle, glory to God. Whether you are working and listening to this podcast, I pray that it will bless you. Wherever you may find yourself at this moment that you're listening to it, glory to God. We're going to continue the series on tonight talking about relationship issues and how to have healthy relationships, glory to God. This is part number two of the relationship issues. Tonight I'm going to be talking to you about communication skills for a healthy relationship. The definition of communication simply is the imparting or exchange of information and news. It is also a means of sending as well as receiving information. Communication is vital in creating and maintaining a healthy relationship, whether it be an intimate relationship such as with a partner, a child or friend, or a professional relationship, such as with a coworker, a supervisor, or a client, or even in the church, glory to God, with those that you fellowship with on a daily basis or a weekly basis or a monthly basis, or even if it is on a yearly basis. Your communication skills will affect how you solve problems, how you resolve conflict, and the level of trust you generate in your relationship. A lack of communication may result in confusion, misunderstanding, and the development of poor communication patterns. As I go through this series or this teaching on tonight, it is my prayer that I provide for you a strategy which will help you to foster effective communication skills. We know the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 15, verse number 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. In Proverbs chapter number 12, verse 18, the Bible tells us, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Glory to God. In the book of Proverbs 17, 27, the Bible tells us, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Glory be to God. The Bible also tells us in Proverbs 12:23, a prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools burst out folly. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listens. Glory be to God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 9, verse 17, the Bible says, the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. There are many barriers of effective communication. Barriers to communication are things that prevent people from understanding a message or understanding it the same way that the giver gives it out. There are some common barriers that would hinder our communication one with another. Poor listening skills is one of them. Many people consider speaking the most important element of communication. However, good listening skills are critical to effective communication. They help you better understand the information other people are trying to convey, improve your rapport with others, and improve your problem-solving skills. Some have no ability to listen. Others have limited ability to listen. And some are constrained in their ability to perceive that in which they hear. All of those are communication issues. There may be language barriers. Language barriers are the words you use to communicate. They may create a barrier to the communication. That barrier will put up a blockage. That barrier will stop others from receiving what it is that you have to say because of your choice of words. This can be as basic as communicating with someone who doesn't speak the same language, or as subtle as interpreting the words that someone may use when they relay a message to you. There are emotional barriers. There is a greater potential for misunderstanding when emotions are involved. For an example, a sender who is upset or angry may not be able to effectively communicate his or her feelings or their ideas. A receiver in a similar state may ignore or distort what the other person is saying. Environmental barriers. These can include a number of factors, including interruptions, distractions from the physical environment, whether it's noise that's going on in the background, talking too softly, talking too loudly, physical distance, a physical barrier between the sender and the recipient. Then, of course, there is what is known as the timing barrier. Is that the right time to say or to release information? The timing of communication can affect one's ability to be understood. For example, there may not be enough time to effectively communicate the message, or it may be too early or too late to release the message effectively in order to have that person's undivided or their full attention. Then there are perceptual barriers. Each person's interpretation of a situation or a thing, including the way that they communicate it, in a way that is unique to him or her. A sender will communicate in a way that makes sense in their own reality, but a receiver may understand the communication in a totally different manner. Various to those perceptual ways of communicating may simply be the age differences between two individuals. It can be the gender. It can be their social status. It can be their economic status. It can be their cultural background, their temperament, their religious or political beliefs can alter the perceptions and create barriers in communication. Listening. When I spoke earlier about listening, listening involves hearing and paying attention to what the speaker has to say. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 5:2, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. Listening involves hearing and paying attention to the speaker. However, hearing and effective listening are very different abilities. Consider the following tips that I'm going to give you to help you become a more effective listener. Clear your mind to avoid wandering mentally. Focus on what the other person is saying. Don't interrupt them. Limit the use of body language when it comes to shrugging off that you're interested in what the other party has to say. If you're going to use body language, keep good eye contact. Lean forward, nod your head, make encouraging gestures. Keep your body relaxed, open, and focused unto the speaker. Use acknowledging responses such as, I see, okay. Paraphrase what you believe the other person has said. Ask questions. Pay attention to the speaker's nonverbal message by observing the tone of their voice and their body language. Respond constructively. Let the other person know that you value what he or she is saying, even if you don't agree. Respond appropriately. Make sure you clearly understand what the person wants from you and respond appropriately. Glory be to God. Don't buy more into the situation than it need be. Speaking was another form of communication that I want to talk about on tonight. The goal in speaking is to convey a message to another person so that the other person understands exactly what it is that you intended. So many relationships that could be healthy could be destroyed simply because of us having a lack of communication skills, of us effectively being able to communicate one with another, realizing and understanding that both parties are human and we each have a perceptive of the situation. Glory be to God. So when we communicate effectively, when we learn the art of listening, when we learn the art of not even what you say, but in how you say it, the tone of your voice can determine whether or not you effectively communicate with someone. Make certain that what you say has the other person's attention. Be organized in what you say. Use the phrases such as "I feel" or "I need to speak with you for a moment." Speak so that the listener will understand. Encourage open conversation. Avoid arguments. Be open. Share your feelings truthfully, but respectfully. Be specific and objective. Identify the specific issue that is at hand and how it makes you feel. Avoid generalization statements such as "always," "ever," "never." Stick to the subject. Try not to digress into broad personality issues or revive past issues. God says in His Word that He throws things into the sea of forgetfulness and He remembers those things no more, which require that we as believers communicate in a positive manner one with another. Focus on the other person's point of view. Be specific, yet be generous, and also allow time or an opportunity for feedback, which outweighs criticism. Respond, but don't react. Be respectful, calm, and positive. If the discussion is escalating into anger, take a short break from it. Agree on a set time to resume the discussion and be sure that you do so. Try to resolve conflicts, not to avoid them. We must be assertive in our conversations. Assertive communication is a communication style that is built on mutual respect one for another. Communication assertively means that you speak up for yourself while respecting the rights of others to do the same. Being assertive demonstrates self-respect because you are willing to stand up for your rights and your interests, and you are expressing your thoughts and feelings. It also demonstrates that you are sensitive to the rights of one another and willing to work constructively to reach a mutual agreeable outcome. Assertiveness is sometimes confused with aggression. Assertive behavior promotes mutual respect and results in trust, acceptance, and cooperation. Aggressive behavior promotes self-interest at the expense of others and results in hostility, mistrust, disrespect, and obstructiveness. Being assertive enables you to act in your own best interest, including refusing to settle for less than God's best. Stand up for yourself by clearly expressing your rights as a child of God, your interests, your thoughts, and how you feel, but also making it known what your personal boundaries are. Demonstrate self-respect by exercising your rights and expecting respect from others. People will tend to treat you how you allow them to treat you. Know your worth and know your value, and don't move from your value system. Develop and expect trust and equality in relationships. Negotiate to a mutually acceptable compromise. Assertive communication includes both verbal and nonverbal communications. Some tips that would help you communicate assertively: be confident, be positive, be bold in what you say and in how you relay the information that you are relaying one unto another. Verbalize a clear, concise, and confident message one to another. Learn to say no without apologies. So oftentimes we don't want to say no, so we'll shut down on our communication one with another. But when we learn the art of saying no, that it is okay to say no without feeling as if you have to give someone an explanation, then you know you have a positive bond one with another. Use a firm, pleasant, clear, and audible tone of voice. State the issue and the outcome that you would like to achieve. Stay focused. Don't digress because of situations. Validate that you understand the person's feelings and issues while yet staying committed to the Word of God. When it comes to communicating about tough issues, effective communication skills are particularly critical when dealing with difficult issues. Consider some of the things that I'm going to mention to you about tough issues. Talk early, in the early stages of developmental of communication breakdown. Don't wait until the situation is out of control. Avoid frustration, avoid stress, and avoid misinformation. Talk positively one with another. Set up a time when you can talk about a thing in a private place where you don't have to be overheard nor interrupted. You be the bigger one and initiate the conversation. You may not need to be the one who start the conversation all the time, because it can be an uncomfortable place for many. But consider saying something like, "I'd like to get your input on something that I think will help us work together more effectively." Or, "I need your help with something. Can I talk with you about something?" And chances are you will get a more positive result if you approach a communication issue in that manner. Think ahead of time about what you're going to want to say and how you're going to want to say it. Explore the other person's thoughts, feelings, and their belief on the situation. Talk about how you feel and be personal, and then yet allow the other person to express their feelings and allow them also to be personal. Tailor the message. Different people need different information, have different sensitivities, and require different vocabulary. In most cases, however, it's usually best to keep explanations short, simple, yet straightforward. Be encouraging, supportive, and positive one unto another. Be honest. Give straightforward and honest information and address all the issues that are at hand. Honesty is going to be what's going to build that trust one with another. Be patient. Allow the other person to set a pace that's comfortable for him or her. Formulate his or her own thoughts and put those thoughts into words, because those words are later going to lead into actions. Also, be prepared if you get a negative result. Remember that the issue may be difficult for another person to deal with. You cannot control the other person's reaction, but you can anticipate them and be emotionally and spiritually prepared to handle them. Take a step back. If the discussion is escalating into hostility, take a short break from it and step back. Developing opportunities for face-to-face communications, is going to require that you be available. Keep the lines of communication open. Be a commitment to your relationship. Make your relationships a priority. A relationship is a work in progress. It needs attention in order to grow effortlessly. No matter how busy you are, make time to spend quality time one with another. Even if you have to schedule specific time slots on your calendars. Be constructive. Part of being able to communicate effectively is making time for meaningful conversations in a setting free of distractions. Schedule time for face-to-face communications. Set a regular weekly meeting to catch up and discuss any issues that may have arisen. This gives family members a chance to talk about what's going on. That gives your friend in Christ an opportunity to talk about what's going on. It may give your best friend an opportunity to talk about what's going on. Never take the moments that God gives you for granted. Seize the moment. Catch up with whatever you have missed out on and take that opportunity so that you would know what you ought to do next in order to be able to get along one with another. Eliminate distractions. Cut down the distractions, whether it be the computer, whether it be your phone, whether it be Facebook, whether it be the radio, television. Set the stage for conversation and positive communicating. Reschedule and then follow up. If someone wants to discuss something at a time when you can't give your full attention, explain why you can't talk. Set a later time up that you can talk and then carry it all the way through. It's my prayer on tonight that this mini teaching on developing positive relationships, beginning with good communication skills. Glory be to God. I have a couple of more scriptures that I want to leave you with on tonight. Glory to God. Proverbs 4:24 says, "Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips." Ecclesiastes 10:12-13 says, "Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. At the beginning, his words are folly. At the end, they are wicked madness, and the fool multiply words." Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." Ephesians 4:31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Glory be to God." This is your host and founder of Free in Christ International Women's Fellowship, Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson. Our overseer and founder is Apostle Keith Johnson of Grace and Mercy Outreach Ministries, Kingdom Advanced Network of Apostolic Council. We are located at 6701 Cold Harbor Road in Mechanicsville, Virginia. At worship experiences are held every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock a.m. every Sunday morning, rain or shine. Feel free to join the Free in Christ International Women's Fellowship, where we have a monthly meeting every first Saturday of the month, helping hurting women heal and become whole. Glory to God. It's my prayer that if this message have in any way blessed you on tonight, please hashtag and share. Our motto is to touch lives all around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our prayer to conquer the kingdom of darkness with the word of God. Until next time, join me right back here on Anchor Podcast Radio, Glory to God, every Tuesday night and every Thursday night. Encourage someone. Join in on Anchor and hear Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson, because this is your moment of deliverance. Until next time, do be blessed. Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the moment of deliverance. Glory to God. This is your host and founder, Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson, coming to you by way of podcast. Welcome. Thank you for joining in, whether you are driving down the road in your vehicle, whether you are at home with your feet propped up, whether you are in your office working diligently. Welcome. As we talk on this evening regarding that there is power in prayer. How many of you all out there that are listening spend that adequate time on a daily consistent basis with God in prayer? A lot of times people say that they don't pray because they don't know how to pray, yet there is so much power that is in prayer. Once you can master the art of prayer, you can get to God anytime you want to get to Him, regardless of where you are, where you find yourself at, regardless of the situation that you may be facing, regardless of what you may be going through. Prayer is actually the simplest form of ministry that there is unto God. Yet it is one of the most neglected ministries, because people oftentimes will say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say, or that they get a mental block when they go to pray or when they go to talk to God. So when I say on tonight that there is power in prayer, I want to break this down so that every listener can get something out of it, and they will leave away knowing that it is important to pray, because when you pray, you can't expect a miracle from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where there is much prayer, there is much power. Where there is some prayer, there is some power. Where there is little prayer, there is little power. Where there is no prayer, there is no power. So then what exactly does power mean? Power is indicative of might. It's indicative of strength. It is indicative of force. When we think about power, according to the word of God, there is a Hebrew word which is dunamis and exousia, which simply means authority. God has given every believer authority to communicate with Him and to fellowship with Him, that you can get into His presence simply by just having a conversation with the Lord. One may say, well, what exactly is prayer? Prayer simply is interacting, talking to, and communicating with God. It is a means of changing a situation for the better. It is a means of bringing an answer from heaven down here to earth. There are four basic types of prayer depending on what the need may be. There is the prayer of adoration, which simply means that you're praising God. Then there's contrition, which is asking for God's forgiveness. There is petition, where you are asking God for a favor. And then there is thanksgiving, which is showing God gratitude simply for who He is. I want to give you all a nugget that will really, really, really bless your life once you get this down packed in your spirit, that praying in the name of Jesus causes advancement in the kingdom of God. It causes answers to be released. I'm going to take you on tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. And I'm going to begin reading for you in verse number 9. Now, this was Jesus talking to His disciples. And He said, after this manner, therefore, ye pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
See that word power right there in the model prayer that Jesus was giving unto the disciples? The disciples also too oftentimes got to a point in their walk with God where they began to get weary. But the Father had to remind them that man have to always pray, glory to God. When we think about the model prayer, of course, that was Jesus, and he was talking to his disciples, and he oftentimes shared with them the importance of praying. We often think of the Lord's Prayer as Jesus' model prayer, but he shared much more about prayer with his disciples. In the book of John 16 and 24, it says, "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Jesus told the disciples, "Until now, you haven't asked me for anything in my name." We can ask for many things, but we don't say in the name of Jesus. It is not as though the disciples had not learned to pray before this, but Jesus modeled prayer for them to regularly be in commune with him. In the book of Matthew 6 and 7, he told his disciples, "Do not pray like the pagans with endless babbling." 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, he says, "Pray without ceasing." Matthew 6, 5 through 15, that's where he gave the Lord's Prayer. "The Father knows what need you have even before you ask him of it." Matthew 26 and 41 lets us know that watch and pray regarding temptation. He also encourages us to go into that secret, private place and to seek him, and he will reward us openly. Also in the book of Mark 11 and 24, he said, "Pray believing that God hear you." And when you pray believing that God hear you, he will answer you. But there is so much that is revealed unto us in the Lord's Prayer. There are so many elements. So on tonight, I'm going to give you what those elements are. First, it starts out giving reference to having a relationship with God by saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven," is recognizing that he is the authoritative one. He is the supreme being. "Hallowed be thy name" is adoration of who he is. That's a sign of loving on God when you go into prayer. When he say "thy kingdom come," that is anticipation of receiving an answer from him. "Thy will be done" is consecrating. That is saying, "God, whatever it is that you desire, let it be so." "In earth," that is the universality of God, saying that he is the supreme one in the earth realm, glory to God. "As it is in heaven," is conformity. That's why he said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And even in quoting the Lord's Prayer, it is conforming even our petition unto that of which one is in heaven. It says, "As it is in heaven," that's that conformity. "Give us," that supplication, saying, "Lord, we are in the need, give us." And then it says, "This day" is the definiteness of God. "Our daily bread" is the necessity of the need of the prayer. "And forgive us," that is penitence, of saying, "We stand in a place of repentance unto you, Lord." "Our debts," that's the obligations, the element of obligation is referenced right there. "As we forgive," that is having forgiveness in our heart. "Our debtors," that is showing love and mercy. You have to be able to show love and mercy to those who have sinned against you. "And lead us," that is asking God to guide us, not into temptation. That is that protective shield that goes up in prayer. "But deliver us." Deliverance is a sign of salvation. "From evil," that is the righteousness of God in effect. "For thine is the kingdom," That is having faith that even though we may not see what we're praying for yet, we know that because he is God, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And the power, that's that sign of being humility, being humble before God, coming into agreement with whatever God's will is concerning the situation that you are communicating with him about. And the power, that's reverence, letting him know that you got all might, you got all strength, you got all force, all of it is in your hand. And the glory, that is reverencing that he is Lord, he is King, he is Master, glory be to God forever. That is putting on the attribute of without time or timelessness, because we can't put a time frame on when God is going to answer, but we know that he's going to answer according to his divine will. And then to say amen, that is affirmation that God is going to answer the prayer, that it is so. I want to encourage you all on tonight, don't neglect the ministry of prayer. Whenever you need to reach up to God and to get an answer from heaven, I encourage every believer that is listening under the sound of my voice to begin to seek the Lord in prayer. If you don't know what to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer back to him. Start out by saying, "Our Father which art in heaven, God, I don't know what I even ought to be praying for right now. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that if I come boldly to the throne of grace, that you will hear my prayer and that you will answer me according to your divine will." When you add on to it, "in the name of Jesus," you are infusing your prayers with power. You are giving Jesus Christ the go and to answer according to whatever his will may be concerning that thing. I also want to encourage the believers that are listening on tonight, as we think about how to pray and what we ought to be praying for, and knowing that there is power in prayer. When you pray and seek the face of God, he's going to come through and he's going to answer for you. Give God back his word. Even when you are praying, give God back what the scriptures say. When you give God back the scriptures, you know that God will respond to his word. Glory to God. I want to encourage you all, if you are not regularly in prayer, start out with something small. Start out reverencing God when you first get up in the morning. "Father, I thank you." Not just when you need something, not just when you want something, but develop that relationship with God that you can communicate and talk to him in prayer. Regardless of where you are, you can pray at any time. No one can stop you from praying. There are many different positions of prayer, which I will come back on another day and talk to you about the positions of prayer to be able to get your prayers answered from the Lord. But on tonight, I just wanted to let you know that God is able to meet you right where you need to be met. In spite of what you may be dealing with even right now, when you fall down on your knees and begin to pray and talk to God about it, he will come by and see about you. And just like the scripture said that I read earlier, go into your secret place and pray, and the Lord will reward you openly. Jesus told them in the upper room that a radical change was coming in regard to the model prayer. In John 16:23, he said, "I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Why will the Father give us what we ask in the name of Jesus? The answer is simple enough. He will do this if and when we are engaged in fulfilling the mission that Jesus gave us. If we return to an earlier moment in that evening, when Jesus was discussing the vine and the branches, we will clearly understand why. "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that was last, that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." And even with that model prayer, The process by which the Father will give us what we ask is directly linked to our appointment to go and bear fruit. The Father will give us what we need in order to accomplish His primary task of bearing fruit that will last for the kingdom of God. He will answer our prayers when we pray in the name of Jesus, because at that point, we are fulfilling Jesus' mission to help complete the purchase of people for God from every language and every tribe, every people, and every nation. I want to encourage you on tonight, start praying. Start developing that relationship with God through prayer. And watch God step in to the midst of your situations and intervene on your behalf. There is power in prayer. I want to leave you with what I started out with. Remember, where there is much prayer, there is much power. Where there's much power, there's much victory. Where there is some prayer, there's some power. There is some victory. Where there is little prayer, there is little power. There is little victory. Where there is no prayer, there is no power, and there is no victory. So to leave you on tonight thinking and knowing the topic that I gave you at the very beginning, there is power in prayer. I want you to know there is also victory in prayer. Feel free to join me right back here on podcast every Tuesday and Thursday evening. Glory be to God. This is yours truly, Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson, coming to you by way of podcast from Free in Christ International Women's Fellowship, Grace and Mercy Outreach Ministries, Kingdom Advanced Network of Apostolic Council, where our overseer and founder is Apostle Keith Johnson. We're located at 6701 Cold Harbor Road in Mechanicsville, Virginia. And worship services is every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. And Free in Christ International Women's Ministry is helping hurting women heal and become whole. We meet every Saturday, first Saturday of every month. Feel free to join us any first Saturday of the month from 1 to 3 p.m. On the first Saturday in September, we will have a guest speaker with us, Apostle Valerie Burrell. Glory be to God. And she'll be come speaking to us about our identity in Christ. The time for that will be from 10 o'clock until 12 o'clock p.m. Glory to God. Join in, hashtag and share. Let others know so that they too can come on podcast and be blessed. Until next time, God bless everyone.